No, welcome everyone today. We're excited today. We actually haven't been, it's been 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we, 1 week we knew about because we were taking a break.
We were away
up in getting an amazing conference and getting nurtured and fed from there. But then up in the conference, if you're not sure of the Jay, who's not here, but he's going to be joining us online. He had a fall while we're doing a walk before the conference, but praise God, there was a great miracle there. We won't go into the testimony now because you can go back to watch our last Sunday.
We did that last Sunday.
We shared all about what God has done, but praise God, Jay is up and about.
Yeah,
and he had surgery on his ankle, but he's up and strong. And,
yeah,
and
that's
God
good.
Protected him from a whole lot of things. God did a miracle. Go and watch Sunday to hear about.
Go watch the great that. Music. That yeah. was exciting. So, but we are glad that you could be here today. We're going to be continuing with our topic, Mirror, Mirror. We're here with Pastor Peter, myself, Josh, Dobie. Welcome, guys. Welcome to our regulars. Brooke, Judith, welcome, guys. We love to know that our regulars are here.
Yeah. Judith actually watches through a YouTube. Many people watch through Facebook. But just to let you know that we are also go live through YouTube. And if you're looking for a better and more reliable experience sometimes, the YouTube is the way to go. So if you're having troubles with the feed, maybe think about switching to YouTube because apparently it's a more consistent feed. And you can fast forward and rewind and pause and things live.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you can't fast forward us.
not live.
what are you going to say in 5 minutes' time? Let's just go.
Well, if you can, then I'll be impressed and you can let us know maybe.
Wouldn't that be hard as fast forward?
No, but we are excited. And as always, you're welcome to be here in the studio. We love our online fam. We love you guys that might be watching this in the future, or if you're watching this again in the future.
Yeah, welcome to those who watch, but you know, don't comment because we appreciate that you're taking into the word. We love if anyone who interacts, we can pray for you, can do that. But we thank God for those that can come and join us online.
Yeah.
And come and join us as we've got some people here today.
Yes, yes. Welcome, Sandy has just turned up. Glad you could be here, Sandy. So yeah, so we are excited. Comment, let us know you're here if you'd like to. No pressure, that's okay. But glad you guys could be here today. Sit down, guys. I didn't think about this. Pastor Peter did this actually. He put a heater there and a heated blanket and put power through it. Yeah. I would have thought just sit in that. No.
No. If anyone watching from the other side of the world where you're having heat waves and everything like that, we're in the middle of a cold snap, some of our coldest weather here in Australia.
So here in sunny Melbourne.
Yeah, here in sunny Melbourne. So our building can get pretty cold overnight. But for anyone here, we've got heaters and a heated blanket. How about that? You plug it. It's like a...
amazing wonders of technology.
Maybe some people will just come here, just do their work. You know,
I just
want the heated blanket. All right, enough. Let's get flowing. Hi, Peggy. Good to have you again.
Welcome,
one of our wonderful regulars there that's joining us. Josh, it's 3 weeks actually. You know, missed 2 weeks
or
3 weeks. And we're talking about Mirror, Mirror. But we're talking about what the Word of God says about us so that we can live it out. This is the amazing thing that God shows us by the Word, the power of the Word. It's the Holy Spirit uses the Word to shape and to fashion us. We might even look at that a little bit later when Paul's talking to the Corinthian church about how he did that. So we look at the Word. It shows us who we are. It shows us what we're going through. It explains to us what God sees even beyond what we're experiencing. So it's so powerful. And what we, when we were sharing this on the book of Judges, chapter 2, I think it was. Let's just go back there.
Go to Judges. Jay won't be here to have
fun. Yeah, I will do this. Judges chapter 2. I'll just get it in my...
Let's get the words up. And if anyone else, I had to, when we started today, I said, we're still doing Mirror, Mirror, right? That's how, I said 2 weeks, you said 3 weeks. That's how long it's been. For a moment, I was like, that's what we're doing.
And it's Judges chapter 3. Give me a shout out if you like to use, you know, the hard copy or whether you're, I've got both here, obviously.
Yeah.
I've got the iPad and the thing. I use both. I don't have any particular, you know, foot in either camp that says I must be there. I enjoy both for their purposes. And Judges chapter 3, verse 2. This is what struck me. It says, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. It was just this concept that they've come in through Joshua, had taken them into the promised land, but now they've got to establish that. They've got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And but they've got a couple of generations in, and things have gone a little bit south in terms of they said, oh, yes, we'll follow the Lord, and then they didn't follow the Lord. But so there's still enemies in the promised land. But I love the way that it was expressed to them. It says that the generations of sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. Every generation, we must learn how to fight.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't matter how good the generation before, the battles they fought, and they will win fights that we don't then don't have to fight. I praise God that they will take ground that make things normal. Okay, you can take. I remember a particular preacher, and he was saying, like, he grew up in a just totally secular family, no thought of Christianity, no input from the Bible.
Yeah.
And yet, as a teenager, you know, he's like, you know, 16, 17, he gets saved. He's just so full of God and excitement, but doesn't know anything about the Bible. And he said, you know, they take him out street witnessing, you know what I mean? And he's just got all enthusiasm, but no Bible knowledge. Yeah. But he said he didn't let that stop him. You know, they're all quoting scripture. So he's, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, you know, and he's just quoting things like, you know, doesn't know where it...
Hopefully that works.
Hopefully it works. Anyway, people, you know. But he said in his family, when he said, oh, I want to be a minister, it was like, wow, what are you doing? You know, you're crazy man.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, that's you know, and he had to learn how to stand in that and how to fight and say, no, this is what God's called me to do, and it's going to be okay. And his family all, you know, upset with him, or calling him an idiot, or, you know, his grandparents, oh, what are you doing? You're going to, you know, ruin the family, and you know, how are you going to, you know, all these things. And he said, but he had to learn how to fight. He had to learn how, in order to pursue the will of God, it was a fight against his family who were resisting that, and the old mindsets and the things that he'd been brought up in, and his old the culture of his family. He had to resist all that. He said now his family have been brought up, his children have been brought up where pursuing the will of God is the most desired thing.
Yeah.
So if one of them said, oh, I really believe God's called me this, everyone gets around them. Everyone's excited for them. Everyone's
sure of faith.
Everyone's championing it with them and say, go for it, you know, hungry. So praise God, the next generation didn't have to fight that battle in that particular area.
Yeah.
You know, they had to push through barriers that now we don't have to. And I praise God for people that have pushed through barriers about things about the Word of God that you know, that the church sort of got lazy in or tended to lose. You know, we the turn of the century, you know, this is in the early 1900s, you had the great pouring of the Holy Spirit through the Azusa Street revival, which lit a fire throughout the whole world of people coming into the fullness of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, that was sort of, you know, it was still around, but it was not championed and it was not mainstream.
Yeah.
And that pushed it back into the church. And they had a lot of fights and you know, people resisting them. And but they stood fast, they pressed in. But now today, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches all around the world.
Yeah.
No one thinks that's hardly good. Anything of it. No one even thinks, you know, oh, that's, you know, that's, you know, you're crazy people. You know, I actually grew up, my first church, when I got saved, and the amazing church about bringing the salvation. But when you mentioned the concept in the Bible of speaking in tongues, they actually said that it was actually from the devil, because there was no more tongues today. The Holy Spirit was only that was poured out when the Bible was in there. But when the fullness of came, which means that when they got the Bible, didn't need that anymore. And I can still remember the teaching. There was a teaching that went around that the missionaries would go over to Africa and they would meet witch doctors, and the witch doctors would build themselves into a frenzy and do this babbling, which was like speaking in tongues to them. And they said, hey, that's where speaking in tongues comes from. It's out of the demonic. It's you know, because our missionaries have seen it, and this is where it's from. So when they're encountering people back here and they're also speaking in tongues, they say, oh, that's just the same. It's the same ethnic. So that's what I grew in. That teaching was there, that to speak in tongues was demonic. But that has, you know, a lot of those battles. So I had to sort of fight a battle there.
Yeah.
You know, my family fought a battle. And when we started going to a Pentecostal church, it was like, oh, you know, you don't belong here. You know, getting this Holy Spirit stuff. But, you know, great story. Go forward a few years and the youth are hungry. The people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, a whole church. That they actually started another church to give them freedom because they, you know, so many people wanted to start doing things in the Spirit. And they're like, what do we do here? So they started another church. That church has now became an actual full Pentecostal church. Yeah. That church now has outreaches in that area. You know,
That's so full on.
You know, it's there's so much. It's built into a whole movement there.
That's and so good.
But they're not fighting those battles there. They've pushed through that. Praise God. You know, Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin before him and Brother Jerry Savelle, they've fought the fights of bringing us the words of faith and God's desire for us to prosper and to be in health. You know, like, that's not actually there. It's not their desire. It's 3 John 2. I desire that you prosper and be in health.
Yeah.
That's God's desire. But that's that whole concept of being able to be blessed and be giving. And Oral Roberts brought in this concept of seed time, sowing and reaping, you know, that came to him because a farmer came to him and said, this is my seed. He gave money. He said, I understand seed. So he gave him some money and said, this is my seed. And Oral Roberts is like, ding, money, seed. I never saw that. That farmer's concept.
Yeah.
Oral Roberts says, you know what? If you can treat money like seed.
Yeah.
And then how many of us, we just talk, you know, like we say, sow a seed, give a seed. Bring your seed.
That was a big one. It's helped a lot of people.
Exactly.
It's just helped me.
But, you know, every time you say that, you're not, you know, attacked and ostracized and kicked out of the church. You're not the only one. You have whole churches and whole movements that support it and follow it. So there's fights that have gone ahead and we are living post-fight.
Mm.
We say, thank God for that. I'm not having to fight that fight. I'm not having to explore this. I'm not having to dig into this.
If we had to keep fighting the same fight and then each new fight on top, the workload would just be getting too much.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so we can build on their fights. But the thing I want you to know is you've got to learn to fight because sometimes they fought and they had to press in and they had to learn how to hold fast. And not just for levels of truth and resistance and things like that preacher, I think it was like culturally in a family, had to create a new culture, a new way of doing family. He had to push in and then his family come in and enjoy that. So everyone can say, well, that's good, but we're not to coast on that.
Yeah.
We're not to say, oh, that's good. Every generation now needs to learn how to fight because there will be fresh battles and fresh things that you need to enter into. You can't just rely on what they've done. You've also got to learn how to fight the enemy.
Yeah, that preacher had to take, like, a stand.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't take a stand, go with the current, go with the flow. And there's always like, what is it? You say it often, the zeitgeist?
The zeitgeist.
The spirit of the age?
Yeah, the spirit of this world.
Yeah, or spirit of the world, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Or spirit of this age is also accurate.
Yeah, and so you got to take that stand. And if you don't, you know, you don't control where that current goes.
Exactly. So it's so important that each generation and each new generation in the spirit fight because we know we've got to then fight for our battles and we've got to be able to take that. And so it's like, well, but sometimes if we haven't done the fighting, we don't, you know, we get a little bit lazy or we don't have, how do they press into that? You know, we just enjoy these things. No, okay. But then when we're faced with something that's not, not just easy, it's not just laying on top, it's not just easy to take on. And I get resistance from my flesh, I get resistance from the spiritual world, I get resistance from this zeitgeist. I was like, what's this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the victory of what has been provided for me, but now I need to push into new realms and establish the victory for God in this place. Mm. And so that's what I just had on my heart, that we would come and I would say, okay, how do we fight?
Yeah.
What do we need to do to fight? You know, do we, you know, and part of what we said last week is we are in a fight. You know, Paul talked about fighting, fight the good fight. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Let's just go there.
I think that's also, that alone is quite an important point that you are in a fight.
Yeah.
The person that says, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
That's a bit dangerous.
Exactly. You sort of say, well, I appreciate that the people have fought around me and provided this comfort. But ultimately, we are in a fight. The Bible says in Peter, the devil walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. That he is on the move and he is being strategic. And in 1 Corinthians 9:25, let's just go back to verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Okay, we're all in the race. That sort of thing, you know. So I don't want to be in a fight. Too late. Too late. You're in a fight. I don't want to be in a fight. Okay, you'll be in a fight. You'll just be losing in the fight. You put your weapons down, you just become enslaved in the fight. You
know? Yeah.
There's no such thing as no fight. We're all running. We're all in this. And sometimes people say, well, is there a way I can not feel like I'm in a fight? Well, yeah, you can just go with the flow of the zeitgeist. You can turn, you know,
fight for the other team.
Yeah, just go with the way the world's going, and therefore you won't feel the resistance, or you won't feel the pressure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't get you anywhere. You know, that'll just get you into disaster. That ultimately it ends up you're away from God. And everyone knows ultimately that means that you go to hell. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Worst end result. Wide is the gate that goes to destruction. It's an easy path, but narrow is the path that is for the kingdom of God. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it takes focus and attention and determination.
Yeah.
It's not an act of the flesh. Ephesians 2 is very clear about that. It says it's not by our own ability.
Mm.
It's by the grace of God, but we've got to lay hold of that and press in. And so it says, everyone runs. Those run in the race all run, but one receives the prize. So if you're going to be in this life, run in such a way that you may win.
Yeah.
If you're going to do this, do it right.
That's right.
And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. In other words, and we just come into the Olympic Games, which was established back in Paul's day by the Greeks, and so they would get a wreath that they would sort of wear on their head to show that they're champion. And he said, you know, what's that? It fades. It's nothing. He said, but what we're pursuing, what we're chasing, is going to have eternal value.
Mm,
it's going to be forever. So he said, this is worthwhile. But then he says, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. It's no good to saying we're in a fight. Fight. Go, Josh. Fight. Okay.
Fight here, fight there, fight you.
Yeah, fight. I don't. When I'm fighting, I just fight. And then all you do is tire yourself out. All right. You swing lots of action, but not much power.
Mm.
You know, and that's the danger. You know, a good boxer has to space himself out. He knows he has to be intentional, because if he just throws punches, he just loses all his energy, and then he's got no strength to actually hold on in the fight. And this is what Paul's saying, you know, if you're just careless in your fighting, it can actually wear you out.
Yeah.
And you don't win, you just get beaten up, and then you're tired. What's the point? So we need to be focused and strategic and understand how we fight. You know, my dad was a boxer. He taught me a little bit about boxing, and taught a little bit there. And so I remember him explaining how to throw a punch, because you think a punch, it's all about the fist. All right, everybody thinks, you know, when you punch someone, it's about hitting them with the fist. It's not the fist. The fists don't do a lot of damage.
Whole body.
No, it's not the elbow. You know, this is boxing, Josh. You know, this is not, what's it, cage fighting? You know, but he said, what happens is when you box, some might not know this, but when you're throwing it, the whole purpose is to take all the strength from your hips and up through your shoulder and put it into that punch. So what you're feeling is not just the fist, but all the power down to, you know, your core. Mm. So your core is going through the power of that punch. So if I swing a punch around and it's just, you know, so it's just all arm and fist, you know, it hits, but not near as effectively as if I throw a punch and my dad would show you the correct punch and the wrong punch, all right? And that's sort of a little bit of what Paul's talking about. He's just throwing wild punches. He said, that's how you box. you actually have to have the intention. You have to know how to hit and how to put the energy into the right thing.
Yep.
And so the same in the spirit realm. You need to know how to fight. You need to know what to do, how to impress. Now, I'm going to teach you a strategy here, all right, that Paul taught in 2 Corinthians. Okay, so
this is good. A strategy.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go there.
We're going to learn how to punch today.
Yeah, learn how to punch. Learn how to fight. In verse 7, it's right in the middle of the passage that we're going to look at. But this is sort of where we're going to take it. We'll get to this. In the word of truth and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left. All right, two-handed fighting. All right, so we're going to look at the strategy today of two-handed fighting. All right, right hand, left hand, right hand. Now, you sort of think, okay, right hand, left hand, this is, you know, okay, it's like a boxer, two hands. I fight with the right and left. Now, you've got to think from where Paul's thinking when he's talking about fighting and weapons. In Ephesians chapter 6, he said, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Mm. And then he said, we've got the helmet of salvation, we've got the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. But then he talks about the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. Because his picture and understanding was what a soldier or a warrior looked like in those days. If you were fighting, this is how it looked. You would have a shield and you'd have a sword.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Left hand, right hand. All right? Not left hand, right hand. Left hand, right hand. Mm. A shield and a sword.
Yep.
Left hand, right hand will talk about the two actions. You got a shield to defend and a sword to attack. You're good on both sides. You're good on the defense and you're good on the attack. All right? So we're going to learn how to fight good on the defense, good on the attack.
Yes.
Good on the defense, good on the attack. And that's part of the weapons of our righteousness, the weapons that come out of us being in righteous weapons, spiritual weapons, God-given weapons. Good on the left, good on the right. Now, this often referred to the fact that, you know, generally soldiers were right-handed. You know, he could be left-handed things, but it was just generally, you know, the soldier would be a shield on the left.
I wouldn't have done very well.
Yeah. You know, but they learned to fight and a shield on the left and a sword on the right. So I want you to sort of see this concept of good on the defense and good on the attack. Good on the defense, good on the attack.
Mm.
Because when they go forward, they take the defense and then they hit. Defend, hit. Defend, hit. All right? And if you think about it, taking either one of those away can make you not very effective. All right? If you throw your shield down and you say, all I need is to kill the enemy.
Mm.
But Paul spoke in Ephesians 6 that the shield of faith was to stop the missiles of being the fiery missiles from hitting us. In fact, we're in academy.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Let's take the time. Let's not just me refer to it. Let's actually just stop and look at it for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes, the strategies of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take up the full armor of God, therefore, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand for, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to everything else there, all right? Taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Everything that's shot there on fire. You got that field. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword, all of these are defensive things to step and protect you, except the sword, which is to do the damage to hurt the offensive. And but the shield, not just to, you know, get the close-in blows, but from the enemy shooting. So if you're standing with a sword, you think, I'm going to do damage, but you get hit with
The missile.
Missile, and you, and you, it, that's doing you damage, and you're trying to fight, and you're being hit. The sword take the shield takes that, absorbs it, puts it out, quenches it.
Yeah.
And then you can do the offense.
That's good.
So left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand. And so that's what I'm taking from this. Now, you know, it talks left hand and right hand. I'm building this based on the understanding of this is how Paul saw a warrior. A warrior had something in his left hand and he had something in his right hand. So he hasn't said a shield and a sword, but I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you... All right. So we'll just go back to 2 Corinthians. This is a really interesting passage here. It talks about a whole lot of stuff, which is sort of, you know, that's typical Paul.
Throw it in there. Throw it all in.
Yeah. It's a passage of lists. Let me see if I can just actually bring this up. I don't want that. There we go. Hey, it worked. All right. Let's see all the different things you got here. And the lists for my sort of breaking it down are in sections. All right. So there's first 9 things that he's got to hold fast in. He's got to endure in. All right. It starts off. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. In much endurance, all right? So we see that, in much endurance. We're going to hold fast.
Yep.
So what do we endure in? What do we hold fast in? Now, look at the list that Paul was enduring in. Okay, he said, that's...
Need a better color?
Yeah, that's pretty wooshy. I don't know
that's,
why.
That's, I don't know.
Okay, we'll do it that way.
That's a bit better, yeah.
Okay, we're in afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger.
Oh, wow.
Wow. What do you got to do in all those? You got to endure. You got to hold fast.
You got to have longevity.
You got to be able to hold fast through these tough times. Oh. Okay, so there's 9 of those. Do you see that? 9 things that we must endure. Then it gives another list. So let's go different color here. Let's go with green. See if I can make that a little bit thicker. Okay, that might be better. So now we've got 8 things that while we're enduring, while we're standing against these things, all right, so these are things we stand against. We push against them, we hold fast against them.
Making a stand,
We've got to maintain certain things in our life while we're doing it. Because, you know, how many know you can withstand something but becoming lousy inside? That's what Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, you know, you can give away all your money to the poor, but if you don't have love, it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
All right? You can give your body to be burned. And he said, if you don't have love, what's the point? Ah, that's...
What are you saying?
So you can endure great hardship, but if you're not walking right, it doesn't work. So,
that's good.
So I got to focus here. Left and right, shoot. You know, come on, people. You got to work. There's this and that. All right. So 9 things to hold fast in, which all talk about physical and pressures that come from without. There's hard times at times to stand. You know, you've got to, you know, you think, oh, I follow Jesus, everything's good. No, if you follow Jesus, sometimes you've got to stand against these things. And so these got to resist all these things, these pressures. But then he says, I'll give you a list of 8 things that you got to do, you got to hold fast to inwardly whilst you're resisting them outwardly.
Yeah.
All right? And so you got to keep your purity in the knowledge. You've got to stay true to what God shows you in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, genuine love, in the word of truth, and in the power of God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There we go. There's 8 of those. 8 things that while we're enduring those, stay in those.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. Stay pure. Stay patient. Stay kind. Stay in genuine love. Stay in the truth. You know, stay connected to the power of God. All right. So these are things we resist, but at the same time we're working. Okay. You say, well, this is hard. This is what your... those who went before us had to learn.
Mm.
they went through tough times and they had to hold, they had to learn these skills. You say, oh, this is a bit tough. Yeah. That's why we have to be the next generation learning how to fight.
Yeah.
Because these are the sort of things they had to, in order to stand against, they had to hold these things down. Okay. So where were we? Then it comes down to this little phrase down the bottom. By the... Okay, down here. So verse 7. In the word of truth, you can still say... maybe I'll go with a different colour. That didn't look... I'll go back to yellow. Okay, you can see that down there. By the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and left. How do we do this? Do you know what I mean? How do we... how do we do this? How do we push back against them and hold fast? How do we work these battles? How do I fight? You know, how do I not just swing wildly? I think this is like in the middle to me. It's a little clue. By the weapons of righteousness, and things for the right hand and the left. So for the shield and the sword.
Defense, offense. Yeah.
Resist and, you know, take it and then smother it and go forward. There's... save that, just in case we need it. Now, here, he starts to say, by this and this, by this and this, by this and this. By this and this, by this and this. And then as and yet. All right, so we're going to move into... Okay, see if I can get all this in one. There we go, we've got another one. All right, so we've by the weapons right, it's right hand or left, by, so that now we have the and word. So we've got two things connected, by this and this, by this and good report, all right? And then we come into a list from verse 9 with the yets, all right? I want you to count the yets with the, as unknown, one. Yet well known, as dying, yet two. Behold we live, as punished, three. Yet not put to death, as sorrowful, four. Yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making five. Many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing six. All things. So he finishes with this list.
Caitlin would be happy that sorry? Paul appreciates lists.
And a list. I missed one at the top. As deceivers and yet true. All right. So we've got seven yets. And we've got these two buys, but then in the middle, the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. I want you to look at these following lists as a left hand, right hand type combination.
That's good.
So what happens is that we will be hit with something for the shield.
Yep.
But then we have the sword that we do. That's good. God says, all right? So shield up this. Shield, yeah. Shield, yeah. All right?
And that I think, like, thinking back to, like, the boxer.
Yeah.
Like, they have their hands up protecting their head. When they take a, you know, they defend against that.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, well, I'll now wait for the next one. It's a counterattack. It's go straight away.
Yes, you can't just hide behind your shield.
Even like with a really great defense, a good boxer will not just I can do this whole day.
Yeah.
No, we actually got to take ground. Yeah.
Eventually, you've got to be able to do this.
Yeah.
But as good as an offense is, if you're not good in defense, you'll leave yourself exposed and open for hitting. So you've got to be able to do both. You've got to be able to defend and hit, and so this is the fight that we're in, is that it's something will be thrown against you, take it, but then you move back with your offense. All right? Yeah. Bang, bang. Pastor said, oh, we've got to get offended. No, I didn't mean that offense. don't come back with that offense. Come back with offense, you know.
Offense.
Yeah,
offense.
I know it sounds the same, but we've got to come back with our attack. All right, we receive it. So I want us just to look at this, and because there's another list that Paul has a very similar thing to in chapter 4. where he says, you know, there's four buts. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not. So it's a style that Paul uses. So I'm going to look at these ones here, then we'll go back to look there. And so the yet and the but are the same thing. You know, this, but not this. This, you know, bang. And if you learn left and right, you've got to be able to do both.
Mm.
Otherwise, you get knocked out, and the enemy uses these to take you out. All right, so just have a look at these. So evil report and good report. They were saying a lot of bad things about Paul. This is one of the reasons he's written 2 Corinthians, is because he's being attacked. His character is being spoken so badly about, and people are saying, you know, Paul. In fact, that one of the things they said, you know, Paul is a big man when he's away from us. Let's see if I can keep this as a photo. In chapter 10, I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. People say, oh, that's a funny thing to say. He's not saying that about himself. He's being sarcastic. Paul was sarcastic. Well done, all the Aussies. Paul had the sarcastic spirit. It comes across. If you don't know that Paul's sarcastic, you actually read these letters like, why is he saying that? Do you know what I mean? He's being sarcastic. He's quoting them in their face. Oh, I'm meek when I'm face to face, but bold when I'm absent. He's mocking them. He's saying that this is what people say.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh, Paul's only big and strong when he's away and writing letters. That's what they're saying about him. They're saying that when he comes, he's a wimp. But when he's away and when he's got distance and he's writing letters, oh, then he's big and brave.
They probably said that when he was away as well.
Yeah. They say about it when Paul's not around. That's a good point. When Paul's not around, I'm big and brave. When he's like, oh, I never said that. You know, you're an apostle. You know, why would? Yeah, but so they attacked him. And they were saying he's nothing when he might write big, strong letters, but he's nothing. And he says, well, I ask that when I present, he says, I don't want to be bold. I may not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard as if we walked according to the flesh. These people are making accusations. They're treating Paul as if he's just a natural person. He's just a poor leader.
Yeah.
He's not this. And Paul's like, you know what? I don't want to use the boldness I have when I get there. He's actually said, I don't want to come and have to fix everybody and discipline. And he says, I want you to sort this out. I want to do this. Why I'm writing the letter.
Yeah, that's good.
To help you get sorted. So I don't have to be bold with it. I don't want to be bold when I'm with you. But they were attacking him. They were having a go at him and his people. So this was not a happy camp that he was writing to. This is not a people that are all on side. This is people that are saying nasty things about him. They're having a go at him. They're attacking his credentials, his authority, and who he was. All right? So when Paul said, and let's see if I can, don't normally do this. When Paul, actually with this, just look at it, nice big. When Paul said, evil report and good report, evil report, good report. They say nasty things about me. They give an evil report. I get evil reports. I get things spoken. So a bad report, both about me and about things that are happening.
Yeah.
When I get an evil report, he said, I know how to handle evil reports about me.
Mm.
Let's put up the shield. Do you know what I mean? When they say nasty things about me, left hand. But I know how to make a good report.
Yeah.
About what God's doing and saying to me. I can use the sword. Evil report, good report.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to do both. You've got to be able to say what God's saying about you and absorb what they're saying about you. Do you understand that? You've got to be able to absorb what the world says about you and say what God says about you. Evil report, good report. If you can't handle both, you're not going to be good in the fight because you're going to have to both. Otherwise, you're saying, I'm good. And then people say nasty things. I'm terrible.
You're right.
Yeah, you know. Or if we're just hiding, that's not true. No, we've got to be able to get out there and say what God is saying about us. We've got to be able to. This is what Paul's writing this letter is pushing back.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So evil report, good report. Let's see what else we've got here. Deceivers and yet true. Things that would come to try and deceive us, trying to get us offside, try and trick us, fool us, no. But we've got to fight back with what is true.
What is true, yeah.
Not going to take in deception. I've got to be aware of this. I'm not taking this, but what is true. So now, here are the yets, all right? The seven yet. Deceivers, yet and true. I missed one. Glory and dishonor. Again, the dishonor, it's... The only one is sort of back to front.
Yeah.
But I think, can I say, Paul wasn't planning to write lists for us here in Academy. He wasn't trying to make it all neat and nice. Often, that's why there's things, you look at how this he tumbles from one to the next. Yeah. And then he sort of gets in a rhythm here. Glory and dishonor. But he's talking about this. There's times when people speak evil about you and there's times when God gives you glory and it speaks well and it goes good. You know what I mean? You've got to learn how to, when they're being dishonorable, when we're doing, when God's giving us his presence and glory. The world wants to cover us with dishonor, but God wants to fill us with his glory. An evil report, a good report. That might be an evil report about you. All right, like in this sense, I'm saying evil report about his character and his nature. It might just be an evil report about what is planned for you, or what you know the doctor says, or what is ahead of you. Psh, here's my good report. Psh, I meet your evil report with a good report. And so let's go in the yets, deceived and yet true. Verse 9, unknown yet well known. Unknown yet well known. How can it be two things at once? This is what I'm saying. Paul was able to work out you can be two things at one time. Right? There's one thing God is telling about you, and there's one thing the devil's saying about you. And they can both sort of be true. All right? You're actually, you're a bit of a failure. That's true. But it's not, but that's your truth. But it is true. Do you know what I mean? These things can be true. Who knows about you? Who cares? Paul, they're saying unknown yet well known. It's like, who is this Paul? And then we say, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Wow, he's the Apostle. You've got to realize back in those days, there'd be a lot of people, who is Paul?
Mm.
You know, we even do this today. We say, we go to someone, even a church, a Christian, you go to another church, say, we're connected with Jerry Sewell Ministries. They say, who? Can you not know Jerry Sewell? You know, he's connected with Kenneth Copeland. Who? You don't know. Because often if you don't know, if you don't know Brother Jerry, you've got to know Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, who? There's not many, there's often a lot of people that you go, who? And they're like, what? It's a big world.
Yeah, yeah.
And often there's a lot of, who? Who are you? Not very well known. You're not no big wig. And only a few people, Billy Graham. Well, he's well known. He sort of got up. But then there's a lot. But Paul said, we can be both unknown, but long as we're known well by key people. Number one, long as God knows us.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really important. You need to be well known by God.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and God. You don't all know me, but God knows me.
Got to make a choice.
Yeah.
Choose God.
Yeah. And the people that God has connected me to, they know me.
They know me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing and connected and being where God wants me to be. Oh, you're not this. How come you haven't got a big ministry? Da, 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 Well, the people in my life group, they know me. They're the people I minister to and I pray for and I share with and I help and I stand with. These people know me.
Mm.
I'm well known. I'm well known to the brekkie club, to the kids there where I go and help and serve. That's the brekkie. Good. I'm well known to the people that I pray for and reach out. They're well known. I'm well known to that lady at the cashier who I always take time to ask about her and inquire and say, "How are your kids? Can I be praying for you?" I'm well known. I'm not well known. I'm unknown, but I'm well known.
Yeah.
All right. And when the enemy says you, see, he comes with this thought, you're unknown. You're not nothing. You're not big. You're just a little infinitesimal little dot in the universe. You're nothing. And you put your shield up to that. And you say, but God knows me, therefore I'm the most known.
Yeah.
And to be honest, this is one of the things that the world by embracing the philosophy and the life of evolution, which is basically saying everything exists outside of God. There is no God, there is no spiritual side, everything is just purely materialistic, and if we just look at life purely materialistic without any external influence, what do we have? Well, we just have a series of randomness. And they said, well, we must have, that randomness must be very, very good because it creates things. That's, my word create, but if, actually it's really funny. If you ever read evolutionary teaching by people who believe totally in evolution and no place for God, they often bring sort of words like design and creation and, this creates this, and this is, they can't help it because it's just embedded in our language to see that when things happen, it just doesn't happen.
Mm.
All right. So, sometimes they say you can't use that language, but they actually use it themselves. They don't mean to, but you can't.
They can't.
So, okay. So what I'm saying is that they say, listen, we'll push God out and just look at this world and then try and make sense of it.
Mm.
And so what they did then is say, what's the best theory we can? So they saw the randomness, they saw the mutations, they saw the changes, and they said, well, what happens if we extrapolate that back? And what happens if we give ourselves unending time? We get here, but it's a terrible theory because it just doesn't match the real world. The existence of DNA, which is, DNA is the most amazing complex information carrier, and it carries information, not just bits of chemicals. You can't do that without a God intervening. You can't make a, look at us. Look at us. We're here. We're communicating, we're thinking, we're believing. We're doing all sorts of things that are spiritual. We're loving, we're looking for our purpose, we're believing. That's we're good. Connecting with things that are in the spirit of, the spirit of God, angels, demons. We live in a spiritual world, we're connecting with it, we understand it, we see that, we're seeing answered prayer, we're seeing miracles. It all makes sense. But if you remove that and put people in to, well, it's just evolution, just becomes a series of randomness and there is no purpose. And what happens is the world becomes just huge and you become unknown.
Mm.
You become unknown. You just become a dot in the universe. You become insignificant. You become, what are you? You're here for a moment, then you're gone. You're just a breath, And there's a few passages in the Bible, times where people got into hopelessness. You look at Ecclesiastes, where it just began, what is life? It's all futile. What's the point? There's nothing to life. And that's, they became unknown. They became just, I'm just here and I'm not, no, and you become, and we put our shield up. No. I resist that thinking. I resist that philosophy. I resist that truth.
That's good.
And I put it with the truth, because it's a, I say truth, but it's a lie. But it's a way of thinking. I resist that, and I come forward with the truth that God knows me.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, that God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a calling on me. That is, bang, and but you've got to be able to do both.
And how important is it to, if you always go back to like the last fight you've had or the last thing that happened, you want the last thing to be your attack. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So when that happens, oh, and we go and we strike, we go on the offense, and you want that to be, not that it's just like you're always just going back to the last thing, but that's like that. Oh, that's the last thing that I attack. That's what I believe. That's what we're standing on. That's what God says. That's what's true about me.
Yeah, I like it. The second half is the sword thrust.
Yeah,
always the sword.
That's always the finisher.
Yes. Yeah. You say this, but I say this. Ephesians 1:18. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's so important, that we may know the hope, the fact that God calls us, that he's got a purpose for us, that we belong.
Yep.
We've got to be known. And so Paul's like, Paul was able to say, you know what? Fight. unknown. I am unknown. And this is what, you know, in Romans 4. In fact, I can... Romans 4:19. This is what happened with Abraham. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now good as dead. All right? That's the shield side.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, I know my body's dead.
Yeah.
I know Sarah and I are not capable of producing children now. We are not in a place where we can have children. And, you know, I'm almost 100, she's 90. And no, it's gone. This time is gone. I acknowledge that that is true, but it's something I absorb with the shield of faith, because then I say, but what God has said.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. And Paul's like, yeah, who am I? I'm a nobody. But I'm a nobody that God knows.
Yeah,
do you understand? I'm a nobody that God knows. I'm an unknown. Important. I'm unknown, but I'm known.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't mind you saying I'm unknown. Who are you? Who are you? Well, good question. Nobody. Except on this side, I'll tell you who I am.
Yeah.
I'm known of God, loved of God, called of God, anointed of God, so to good. Do what I'm calling, to do what I'm doing. And Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians, a little bit later, I'm trying to work out when, 11, no. Right. Where he says that in his weakness, his glory and his grace and his strength comes out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In his weakness, out of that place of weakness, then I am become strong. It's in 2 Corinthians 12.
Oh, you got it. It's about to bring out the old Google.
The old Google. Verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
Mm.
Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Yeah, I'm weak. Yeah, I'm struggling. But that's a shield moment.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what I am. I have the power of God and the glory of God. You know, and I can... Yeah, it's a battle. But I'll tell you what... I can do all things through Christ,
mm-hmm.
through strength. I can. Yeah, we good. Can get this done. This is God. So I am unknown. Oh. Okay, so I'm yet well known. I'm dying. Josh, you know, people might listen to me, all right? Just be careful about my... Just take this in context. Do not cut this clip out and say it, all right? Okay, Josh, I'll tell you, it's true. The truth is I'm dying and you're dying. Everyone else, you're dying in the sense of this body is going to die. Yes. All right. It's you can't say that. That's just the truth, but I want to tell you something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. This body might be eventually going to die, but I'm living.
Mm.
I've got life flowing out of me. I've got something coming out of me that's
life,
good.
Life eternal.
Yeah. You look at, I think it's might just be chapter 8. Oh, I should look in my Bible, so I'm not trying to.
Someone found out today that their body is going to return to the dust of the earth.
What's yes.
to say that you will live.
Chapter 4. That's why I couldn't find it later on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet,
yes.
our inner man is being renewed day by day.
Mm.
Outer man, yet inner man.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So
that's day by day. That's,
yeah.
Done the day goes
something's
on.
Happening. I'm getting renewed. My life is increasing. Yeah. This physical body is getting older, but the inner man, he's getting stronger. He's getting
good.
He's increasing. So, yet So he says, as dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. In other words, they want to bring me down. They can't do it. You know what I mean? They can't bring it. As sorrowful, they want, oh, devil. No. Psst. Always rejoicing.
Yeah.
All right. So Paul doesn't say sorrowful and rejoicing. It's sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Do you understand? This is not two sides of the same coin. This is a shield and sword moment. Sorrowful, rejoicing.
Yeah.
All right. This is, I take this and I go forward with this. As making many rich. Oh, sorry, poor. You got nothing. You've got nothing, Josh. What? Yeah, you can say, I'm poor. I'm empty. Absolutely. I've got nothing to offer this world. Yet, in Christ, I'm rich. I've got so much to give. Yeah, I can be a blessing. I can help and I can minister. I've got so much. I'm absolutely poor, but I'm actually rich.
Yeah.
As having nothing, you got nothing. And yet, possessing all things.
Yeah.
It's just this one or the other. Mm. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be of God, not from ourselves. So, and then here we go. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at it.
Another list.
We are afflicted in every way, but. Like, it uses but here. It uses the same word, yet.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. You can use yet.
Yet not crushed.
Okay, so. So there's, I'll underline it in different colors. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken.
Mm.
And we're struck down, but not destroyed.
Mm.
All right? These are our shield, sword. Yep. Shield, sword, shield. And I, to be honest, when I first read this many, many, many moons ago, it was like, oh, Paul's a bit of a downer. Because I read it without the buts. You know what I mean? I just read what he was talking about. And he was like, so if you read this, Paul says, I'm afflicted in every way. I'm perplexed. I'm persecuted. And I'm struck down. Welcome to the ministry.
He's not having a good time.
Yeah. Go, you know, because it's like those four things. And it's like, oh, that's awful. That's terrible.
What? I don't want that.
Yeah, anyway, but I sort of know it's in the Bible, so you just grin. And God's like, you're not reading it properly.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah, I know he's putting some bright faith. No, but, all right. The word but changes everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I said to you, Josh, let's say, I know I promised to give you $100, all right? Josh, I'm not giving you $100. Oh, that's really rough. But instead, I'm giving you a car.
I'll take it.
That's way better.
As long as it's not a $100 car.
No. I'm giving you a brand new car. Oh. Let's make it good. But no. But I'm giving you a brand new Mercedes.
Are you just saying this to me, or is this an example?
Some
people may be confused.
Can people please explain to Josh what an illustration is? Because he's in the middle of it. Okay, this is a. But do you understand?
Yeah.
The word "but" just changed that whole concept.
Yeah.
It went from.
Oh.
But instead, that becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
The first statement. Who cares about that? This is what. So we're afflicted in every way. The word.
He's acknowledging them, but that's not what he's leaning into. And it's like, but this is the truth. This is what I am.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's okay to acknowledge them if there's the but, if there's the yet.
Exactly. That's a really good point. You know, by having the but, he's putting it, This is what the enemy's trying to put on me. This is what's trying to be said about this, what I'm experiencing, but this is not my final existence. Mm. So let's have a look at this. This word. We're experiencing trouble on every side, but we're not crushed. So I like King James, New King James. We are hard pressed. We are pressed on every side. I just want to try and get the Greek word for this. All right. So the Greek word is phlebo. 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 To press together, compress, afflict. It's like in to press as a person in a crowd, in the sense to press together, compress, and press together, made narrow, concerning the narrow way. To present, it has derivatives. I mean, to crush, to press, to be squeezed. All right, you're being pressed in. So the enemy's trying to squeeze you. Have you ever felt squeezed? As if the enemy's like giving you no options,
and taking all their space away.
Yep, and it's hard to breathe, and you're feeling locked in, and there's no options. And there's, because there's a reason. There's a reason why when it talks about the things of God, is as if open, wide open spaces. Well, this is the opposite. You feel like I've got, I'm pressured in, and so Paul says, yeah. That's. He says we're afflicted, we're pressed in, we're squeezed in every way, but we're not crushed. We're not crushed. So let's have a look, word crushed. Sorry, just getting there. But not crushed. Let's have a look at that. From the net word narrow and space. But we're not constrained. So we've got to put the word not in front of this. This is the word, but we're not this.
Yeah.
But we're not in a narrow space.
Yeah.
We're not in a place where we're constrained. We're not in a place where we're held. Paul said, I'm squeezed, but in that place that the enemy tries to squeeze me in, I'm pretty good. I've got a lot of room to move. I'm actually, the enemy's trying to squeeze me, but I feel...
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm, he's squeezing. And I taught on this many, many years ago and got banned by Disney. Our web, it was one of our few videos we uploaded back then. It was one of our early uploads, and Disney found it and banned us. Because you think, what in the world? Why was I banned by Disney by talking about this concept? Because I used an example that from my childhood, or sorry, it wasn't my childhood. It's actually my children's childhood, watching videos with them of cartoons, and there was one of Goofy, the Disney character, and Goofy, he got to be a knight in a jousting match. He was not meant to be there. He was just a young kid helping out, and he ends up in the armor, and he ends up on the horse, and he's in this fight. So he's like a little Goofy, a teenager. He's not a child, but you know what I mean. And he ends up in this fight. And the guy who's fighting him is this big, burly guy. And he's got this, one of those maces, with the handle and the ball and all the...
A flail.
A flail, is it?
I think.
Okay, so he's got this flail, and the big ball with the hard... And he's belting the living daylights out of this guy. And the commentator's, oh, no, he's, how can he survive? And the arm has been beaten up, and, the helmet's been beaten, and it's like, it's so terrible. Then they switch to the inside, and the guy's sitting there, and he's so small, the arm is not touching him. It's a ding, ding, ding.
I remember that. That's
and
good.
He's sitting there, and he's just smiling, and wipes his nose, and he's like, guy, and the guy belting him just runs out of steam.
Yeah.
He's just done, and then, so I showed that clip to the church. I thought that'd be good. And Disney found out about it using their, algorithms, and banned our video. Because we showed unauthorized content. So I'm not showing it today because I don't want to get banned. But I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine being beaten up on the outside, but just all good on the inside.
And he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's pressure. But then on the inside you go, but you know what? I've got space. Mm. I've got plenty of room to breathe. I've got options to do what God's called me to do. I'm being exactly where God wants me to be.
Had room to stretch.
Yeah, God can't, the enemy can't stop me from doing what God's called me to do.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? I'm just doing, he, and so, We're perplexed, but not despairing. It literally means, we won't go through these each one by one. We'll just say, perplexed. No, we will. We'll just take time. Right, because someone might need this. I was just saying, this might be your answer. This might be what you're going through right now. All right, so let's just have a look at this. Perplexed, what does perplexed mean? Sorry for scrolling through to get to them. We're perplexed. Aporio. Okay. So here's the word aporio here. Without resource. Without resource. No resources. Just don't know what to do. I have no access to what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I have no. I've got. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know where. I've got. I'm totally without any options.
Yeah.
Without any options. But. Not despairing. But not at a loss. Not without a resource.
Yeah, that's good. Like you're at the end of your rope or something.
Yeah, it's like, I'm at the end of my rope, but I've got plenty of rope. That's what it's literally saying. I'm at the end of my rope. Oh, but I actually got quite a bit of rope. I got no answers. I actually got lots of answers.
Yeah.
And you say, how can you say those two things? It's like, how can those two things be
true simultaneously?
True simultaneously. Yeah. And they can. And you can say, I don't know what, in the natural, I don't know what to do. But I've got plenty of options because God's got all the answers.
Yeah.
God's got, I'm not without the.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I've got all the answers I need in God, in the Holy Spirit. He's got a way through this. You know, so it's like, you think of the Israelites, we don't have any path to go, but we have a path to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, you've got these two things that say the exact opposite. We don't have anything, we're totally pressed, but we're not pressed. Total freedom. You know, I don't know what to do, but I know I've got plenty of things to do.
Yeah.
I'm not without a plan. I'm not without an option to do.
Because it's always going to be done in a way that it is God glorifying. So if you did have your own rope or your own plan, you would not be able to glorify God with that. And in every scenario, in every situation, it's like, you come to the end of yourself because what God has said is true. He'll do it in you and through you to glorify God. Yeah.
Exactly. And you've got to learn to fight like this. This is a fighting skill. Absorb what is said, which is true. But by your faith, then you say what God says. And then what? No, I've got plenty of space. I've got plenty of room to move. I can do this. I've got no space. I got plenty of space. I can do what God's called me to do. I don't know what to do. God's got the plan. God knows what to do. I've got the mind of Christ. He will show. He's got path and a way through this. He's very good. The next two, they make a little bit change in how this works. All right. We are persecuted. So those ones were basically saying, "When I'm this, but I'm not this." It's almost using the same sort of concept. Saying, well, I'm this, but I'm not this. You know, like I said, I got no answers, but got answers. I'm perplexed. I'm squeezed, but I'm not squeezed. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. This is a little bit different because it doesn't say we're persecuted, but not persecuted. Do you know what I mean? We're pursued. Okay, the word persecuted here is pursued. Look at the Amplified. We're pursued, persecuted, and hard driven. We're persecuted. It's to chase something down. It's we're being chased. Not in this sense, it can be in a good sense, but in this sense of what Paul's saying, it's they're hunting me down. They're hunting me down. It's like the sense when you see the old movies and the prisoners escaped and they brought out the bloodhounds. And he's running through the swamp and he's trying to get away. And in the background, he's like, ooh. And it doesn't matter, he turns left and right. They're tracking him. You feel tracked. You feel it's coming. You can't shake off. It's coming. And then, so this one, it doesn't say, but we're not being chased. It's an unusual switch here. Paul doesn't say, I'm being chased. I'm being hounded. I'm being pursued. But what is the but in this case? He says, but not forsaken. I'm not on my own.
Yeah.
I'm not left and by myself.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so this is different. It doesn't say I'm not chased. It says they're pursuing me, but I suddenly turn neck and Jesus is with me. And he's not. They're not pursuing us. They're pursuing me. They're pursuing us.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm with you. I got you. You know, they're coming. This is okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, that's in good. Being pursued, the thing to lean into is who's with you.
Mm.
And it's I'm with Jesus through. They're just and why don't you take a moment to actually think about what you're being pressed under and what's being pressured for you. What's coming at you, and then just stop and meditate on the fact that Jesus is with you.
Mm.
All right, and can I say, you just in your spirit begin use the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what's you know Jesus said he's with us too. You know, and it says, Matthew 28. You know, says I'll be with you. It's a promise that to have the presence and glory of God, to be Jesus walking things through with us, and you look at it and say, can I say? He's not going to be panicked. He's like, the hounds are coming.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, quick.
Have you got a plan?
What are we going to do? She's like.
If Jesus is asking you, what are we going to do? Well, maybe it's not that one.
So just take time to actually lean into Jesus and say, okay, Jesus. Because that's the answer to feeling pursued, is actually to be not alone.
Mm.
All right. It's you might think the answer is to stop the chasing.
Yeah.
To cut the chasing. You know what I mean? You say, Jesus, no, just lean into me in this.
Mm.
All right. Because the enemy's, the Bible says in Peter, the devil is constantly trying to find us. He's prowling, trying to find someone to devour.
Mm.
You say, well, take the devil away. He says, just lean into me. All right? The devil, he might want to, but just lean into me. He's not going to touch you.
Yeah.
If you're leaning, with me. So that's the thought there. Just looking at some of the comments there. It's like all the pictures that Brooke remembers that video too.
The goofy, yep.
It's like all the things that are happening. Actually, what we should do is, if I'm just going to read them, we might as well put them up here. It's like all the things that are happening are the picture of Goofy getting beaten, but Goofy is actually at peace and is protected and safe, and safe and blessed inside the armor. That's amen to that. Mm. Jocelyn, the carnal might tell us facts saying things are hopeless, but the Spirit declares that we are more than conquerors. The Spirit is truth, and that is eternal.
Mm.
It doesn't change. Exactly right. It's like it's these two things. If I was in a car chase, I wouldn't care who was following me. I'd only care about who was driving my car. Exactly. Imagine, instead of, we're being chased. Oh, the driver like, I got this. The difference between being pursued when you're driving, being pursued when you're not, when you're the passenger. Well, it's your responsibility. You look over. Oh, he's got this. Jesus, like. Mm.
That brings a new revelation to Jesus. Take the wheel.
Yeah, Jesus. Let him. What are you doing? And then the last one. Cast down. And the word cast down is katabalo, to be thrown down, down, smashed to the ground, tossed to the ground, bang, but not destroyed, not stop from being able to be functional, not being able to stop you from being who you called to be, not can't stop you. Bam!
Yeah.
Finished. I used to use the illustration, and it still works for me. Imagine someone. Remember the old alarm clocks? With the bells on top, and the hands tick tick tick. Anyone? Wow. The old clocks.
Like the what is it? The round ones with the...
This.
Maybe I'm too young.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
Hope, you know, if it is what I thought it was, then that statement's not true, but...
Okay. This.
I can, yeah, I was thinking something like that, yeah.
Okay, can you, yeah, let's see. I don't know whether... I want to have it. Anyway, can you see that on the screen? Okay, the old alarm clock. And you used to have them beside the bed, and they would tick. Tick, 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 and then the alarm would go off. All right. So they just said they're there to tell the time. There's one thing about them though, is that they tick, 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 tick. Anyone remember a ticking clock? Because this wasn't an electronic sound of ticking. It was actually the sound of the gears moving. Tick, 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 tick. The gears are flowing inside. Tick, 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 tick. And imagine someone like, this clock's driving me crazy, you know. So you grab it and you smash it to the ground, and you turn around. Yeah, tick, 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 tick. So you stomp on it. Tick, 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 tick. So you get a cricket bat, belt the living daylights out of it, and you hear tick, 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 tick. I can't stop it from functioning. I can't stop it from being a clock. What is it about this clock? This clock is driving me nuts.
Mm.
Well, that's what I want us to do to the devil. Just drive him nuts. Because it doesn't matter what he does.
Yeah.
Tick, 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 tick.
That's
tick.
Good.
Tick, 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 tick.
Just keep ticking.
We just keep on ticking. We just keep on going. We can't, you know, it's like, and the devil thinks, I've finished him. Here we go. Tick, tick. We're just doing what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
We're being who God's called us to be. He cannot stop us from functioning.
Mm.
So we're struck down, we're thrown down, but we're never destroyed. He can't stop us from doing what God called us to do. So what God wants us to do is to read this verse and say, without all the buts, we're saying, we are not crushed. We're not, we have room to, we have plenty of room. We know what to do. We're not by ourselves. We've got God with us, Holy Spirit with Jesus helping us. And we're never not functioning and doing what God calls us to be.
Yeah.
So that's really what Paul was saying.
Yeah.
The other bit was the... And so I was reading it totally opposite to doing that. And so I started a conversation with the clock. I don't remember having one like that, but my grandpa did. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry for all the new generation. Like I did. But so at least we got the picture. You know, they were there. And that's what I want you to see yourself as, that which just cannot be stopped. Just keeps functioning, keeps ticking, just keeps doing what you're called to do, telling the time, moving the hands, just doing what God's called you to do. Because that's really what God, that's you just doing what God's called you to do. So I wanted to stop and say, okay, this is a skill that you need to learn in terms of being a fighter. All right, you need the skill of being able to left and right. You need to be able to absorb what is being said and what you're experiencing at times. It's not just being said, but it's been what, it might be a thought that's coming at you. It might be a concept, like the concept that you're a nobody, that's often more of an internal accusation. You know, someone might say it, but it's like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then there's real pressures, that the bad reports and things that come. These are things that come, you need to say with my left hand, but then you must have the right, and you must be able to bring back, and you must be able to stand in the if we go back to what chapter was it? Chapter was only in chapter 6. Jumped too far. We were talking you know, you've got to endure. Remember, we talked about right at the start, enduring afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger. All right? In one sense, see all those as a group shield activity. We've got to resist, though. They're the pressures that come on us. We've got to endure and hold fast through.
Yeah.
But the sword is the positive. This is what I bring into this.
Mm.
So they bring me pressures. They bring me persecutions. They bring me tough times. But what do I bring? I bring purity.
Mm.
I bring the knowledge of God. Mm. I bring patience. I bring kindness. I bring the moving of the Holy Spirit. I bring genuine love. I bring the word of truth. I bring the power of God. So this is a group of like right hand, and the first one is a group of left hand. And then as it comes down, it does left and right, left and right, left and right. But I want you to see this. They come at us, and this is the pressure to change. But you know what we do? We walk in kindness. You know, you say, I walk in the purity. I walk in the Holy Spirit. I walk in genuine love. I'm resisting these things.
Yeah.
And then you say, they're not weapons. Yes, they are. These are weapons. These are things that undo the enemy's plans and undo the enemy's work and the pressures he puts on you by us leaning to these are things that we use as God's answer to this world. We bring, when every time I love someone, I'm using a weapon in that situation.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, every time I act and stay in patience, and patience means stay consistent without the pressure to jump out. If every time I stay consistent, God is able to work. When I work in the Holy Spirit, when I act, do an act of kindness under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that act of kindness is a weapon. It cuts into the devil's kingdom. So these things are sort of they're right. But as the next generation, you've got to learn how to be strong in both. You've got to be able to absorb and see things coming, but get the sword out, all right? And know who you are and know what God's called you to do and know what the provision. So when you feel under pressure, when you feel hounded, you've got to be able to lean in, Jesus is with me.
Yeah.
You know, and meditate. When you feel I've got no answers, you've got to be able to say, no, but God's got answers for me. He's got everything I need. When the enemy says, you're a nobody, I say, yeah, but I'm well known.
Hmm.
I'm not known, when the enemy says, I'm going to destroy you, say, you can never stop me doing what God's called me to do. I can continue. I will show the power of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the goodness of God. These things will manifest through you. You cannot destroy me. You might feel, I've got you right where I want you. I'm going to destroy you. You say, no, there's something I can lean into. I'm not. When you feel the weakest, when you feel as if, I can't do this, Paul said, you know what revelation he got from that? He said, chapter 12, we just read it before. My grace is sufficient for you. There's a power that's going to come through you. If you hold fast here, I'm going to deliver you through here, and you're going to come through this strong. You might say, I don't want to have to do the shield stuff. But it's the pressure of the shield that often brings the power of God out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's, the resilience.
Yeah. And it's, and so Paul says, I boast about my weaknesses. Yeah. I'm a nobody. Who am I? I'm useless. I can't do anything. But I'm not, but you've got to have the but.
Mm.
And you've got to have the yet. But the devil can't stop me. The devil can't. I'm well known. God knows me. And God, I'm well known. I'm connected to the people that God wants me to be connected to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm being exactly where God has called me to be. I'm just functioning and I'm ticking away. Tick, 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 tick. I'm getting this thing job done, and the enemy might be pursuing me, but God's in the driver's seat. Yeah. Follow all you want. Chase us down.
We're going to be aggravating the enemy.
Yeah, we're going to be annoying him no end, and I don't mind that because we could glorify God through that. So that's what I wanted to share today, is just that first step of it's a skill, the weapons of righteousness in the left hand and the right, being able to be able to do both shield and attack. So trust that's been a blessing to you, and we will continue talking about how we can be strategic in our fight, because that was just a skill. Now this skill that we talk about there works all, just in life. It works with attacks of the enemy.
Yeah.
It works when we're struggling with the flesh. It works. It's a skill for all three places of attack. Some of the other things we're going to talk about is how to be very particular when the enemy's attacking, when the flesh is attacking, when we're just struggling with battles of being in this world or a church or a life, that needs transforming. How do we do that? All right, so bless you. Thank you so much. What I'm going to do is we will switch back to the music, our intro, and it'll go for a few minutes. And then if you've got any comments, that way we can we can be watching the comments for the last 3 or 4 minutes. And appreciate that. Thank you. Continue to pray for Jay for full and total restoration. Yes. That Jay will be with us and not just with us standing and leaping and praising God and saying, look what the Lord has done. But we missed you, Jay, for being in the studio. We appreciate those that are able to join us both here and online. And we look forward to joining you next Friday when we'll continue to look at how to fight. And so this is why it's mirror, mirror, because it's the Bible's telling us about ourselves and how we can fight. Bless you.
Be blessed.